We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, The Lord Looks at the Heart. Today's recording is part of a series on 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
And so, Lord, as we just get into this study, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to be in this place, Lord. I thank you for these precious ladies, Lord, who have come in with a heart's desire to know you better, Lord. They've come in, Lord, wanting to hear your word. They are coming here to know your word better, Lord, to understand some things that perhaps they didn't understand. Lord, to get together with other ladies and talk about the things that you've shown them and to encourage one another in your word. I thank you, Lord, for them. I pray your blessing on us tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing of your word, anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord. As I speak, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we give you thanks and we give you praise, Lord, because you are always, always, always good and you always deserve the glory. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the ark today in our today's study has will make its move from Ekron over to Kirjath Jearim, where it's going to sit in. You're chuckling at that word. Well, I couldn't say it again in one shot. So it sat in the field temporarily there. In chapter 7, it's going to move to the home of Abinadab in another place, and for many years it's going to be there until David takes it to Jerusalem, but that doesn't show up until 2 Samuel 6, so we won't be getting to that particular thing in 1 Samuel. I don't know about you guys. We talked about this with the morning ladies, and in this chapter, It has the most interesting things happening with the gold tumors and the gold mice and all of that. And we found ourselves wanting to know more about what are those gold mice about? What are those gold tumors about? What is all of this about? And that cart, why did you do the cart that way? And wanting to know all of these things and not realizing that this chapter is more about the glory of God, and God receiving glory, and God being reverenced. That's what this chapter is about, and we'll find out as we get through there. And so you want to know what the golden tumors were all about, and you want to know what the golden mice were all about, and then you ran into another place where you said, well, those numbers don't quite match up, and so we can't figure that one out, and so you got stuck on that part too, right? No? Nobody else did? You evening ladies are very different than the morning ladies. We have these conversations about these sorts of things. And so, but anyway, so since we don't have that to talk about, because you guys didn't get wrapped up in all of that, we'll talk about the fact that the ark was in the Philistines' hands for 7 months. For 7 months, they kept it around. They kept moving it around and putting up with the destruction and the death that it brought to them for 7 months. Last week we had the we asked the question of what are you trusting in? What are we trusting in? Today our question is, how long will I put up with a destruction? How long will I put up with a sin? How long will I put up with deception before I seek deliverance? How long am I going to put up with this thing in my life before I seek deliverance? you realize that in there is a comfort in familiarity. When we are in a bad place, when we are in a hard place, and we know we just need to get delivered of this thing, whatever it is that we're holding on to, but we know that when it's gone, we're not sure what we're going to do after it's gone, right? You know, is anybody else on the same page with me? Okay, so there's that familiarity with the pain that goes on in those situations. God says to you today, don't be like the Philistines and hang on to something that is destroying you. Don't hang on to something that's destroying you. Let it go and see what God will do. Just let it go. Let it go, whatever it is. Notice that with the calamities that the presence of the ark brought on the Philistines' country and to its people, they were not willing to relinquish this prize. They looked at it as a prize. They did everything they could to retain it, hoping for peace, hoping for safety, but peace and safety didn't come, did it? Only death and destruction came. But they held on to it tightly. They held on to it tightly, and they just moved it to another area, thinking that they're going to get that peace. They're going to get that hope. Those things happen in our lives. We have something in our life. And if I just want to hold on to that because I just want to hold on to it. And God says, let it go. Whatever it is, let it go and see what God will do. And so there they are. They are hanging on to that. So let's call in the priests and the diviners and ask them what we should do. And believe it or not, they had a controversy over whether or not the pestilence was really a judgment from heaven. Whether or not it was really a judgment from heaven. Now, I think of these priests and these diviners who actually united the people in their by recommending a course that would make it easy for them to decide whether these things were from the God of Israel or just bad luck. I think that these guys were older. I think they were experienced. I think these priests and diviners had a little bit of time behind them. They'd been through a few things. You know, there's something to be said about that kind of experience, something to be said about asking someone about what went on in their lives. What is your idea of what the direction that I should go with what you have done with the Lord? So we move on into our scripture here. And they called the priest in verse 2, tell us how we should send it to its place. And so they said, if you send away the ark of God of Israel, do not send it empty. They're not talking about the inside of the ark. They're saying, don't send it without a gift. By all means, return it to him with a trespass offering. Remember, note that your Bible has a capital on him. Return it to the God of Israel. Return it to the God of Israel. And with a trespass offering. Trespass offering is a sin offering. They had something that didn't belong to them. And we're to offer an offering for that. And then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you. Then they said, what is the trespass offering? Which we shall return to him. And they answered, well, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden rats. Okay, I'm along with you. Okay, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and on the lords. Their advice was to send back with gifts and implements of confession of sin. And it was based on their best religious knowledge. We kind of chuckle at it today because we look at it and we think, well, that's ridiculous. Why would they do something so ridiculous? They were doing something in reverence to the God of Israel in the best way that they knew how. When we lived in Australia, oftentimes when you would go into some of the little stores, there would be a little shrine outside, or just inside there'd be this little shrine, and there would be some oranges, and there'd be some other kind of foods in there, and you would look at it and you would think, oh, this is so ridiculous that they think this is going to do something. But you see, they were going on what they knew. whether it was a belief that was true or not, they went with the reverence for the God that they knew. And so here we have them offering something of value. Gold is valued. It was a thing of value. To put it simply, they just went with what they knew. I read this in one of the commentaries, and I think it's worth passing on to you. No man can know the will of God as he ought to unless he obeys that will of God as far as he knows it and at any cost. No man can know the will of God as he ought to unless he obeys that will from God as far as he knows it and at any cost. Will you be sold out for the Lord? Will you give it all to Jesus? Will you allow him to take over? Will you let go of that thing that you're hanging on to? If God is telling you to pray, then pray. If he's telling you to confess a sin, then confess it. If he's telling you to do something of self-denial, do something for somebody else that puts you in the back and lets them shine, do it. That's a hard thing to do sometimes, isn't it? To let somebody else shine and to not be the one who said, well, you know, actually, I started this thing that they're doing now that 50,000 people are going to. That was my idea. I just wanted you to know that. But you're willing to sit back and willing to let them shine. And I love that about you guys. So notice, therefore, you shall make images of your tumors and images of your rats. Now, these rats or mice were a very natural phenomenon, actually. It was something that happened more than once where they would come up and they were, you know, we explained how they came up last week. You remember last week when we talked about their, yeah, in the legends? Yeah. What they were doing, though, they probably were a field mouse. And they were devouring the fields, just completely devouring the fields. So there was no food. There was no grain. Remember, right now they're in a time of harvest. There was no grain, nothing for them there. And so that's what these little guys were like. And I wish you could have been here this morning, because this morning out on the table, the little snack table that we have out there, the ladies in the morning, they made a rock. And then on top of that rock was the wooden cart and the two cows with the udders, so that you knew that they were the female cows, okay? And then in the back was the Ark of the Covenant, and then also in the back was the little container that had in it, inside it, literally had little golden mice and little golden little round things. So it was so precious. I wish they would have left it for tonight for you to see it, because it gave us such an idea of what was going on. When we get here later, we're going to see these female cows being put on there. They wouldn't have been put on a yoke anyway, because they were female. They are nursing moms. They are milking cows. They are feeding their calves. And then when we get to the place where they are going to be sacrificed, the priest did, number one problem with what the priest did is they sacrificed a female cow. It should always be a male, never a female. So that was one of the problems there. So therefore you shall make those, and we'll get to that ravage the land. Here's what the experienced priests diviners had to say. And you shall give glory to the God of Israel. And you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will lighten his hand from you, from your gods, and from your land. He's going to lighten the load for you. He's going to lighten his hand from you, from your gods. The God of Israel is going to take it easy on your gods, and he's going to take it easy on your land as well. Why then, verse 6, do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh, as Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he did mighty things among them, did they not let the people go that they might depart? Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaohs? The Philistines had learned from the past. The Philistines learned from the past. They knew what it was like when the Egyptians, you remember when Pharaoh, when Moses went and he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, not going to do it. Okay, here's first plague. No, not going to do it. Here's second plague. No, not going to do it. Here's the third plague. And it went on and on and on. They had frogs and they had all the other ones that just left my mind. And so they had all of these things come upon them and they only let him go after the Passover. What was the Passover? It was when the oldest son of every family that didn't have the blood on the doorposts was put to death. Then they decided to let Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. Okay, so they pack up and they get going. And what happens? Pharaoh's heart is so hardened that he follows after him. What did it cost him? Everything. Don't harden your hearts like in the days of the Egyptians. Don't harden your hearts as Pharaoh hardened his heart. Don't live in that place. Why do you harden your heart? They learned from that experience. They learned from history. The children of Israel, not so much. They didn't remember those things that the people before them had been through. Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. Those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. Now, therefore, make a new cart, verse 7. Make a new cart. Take 2 milk cows, which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart and put it the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side, then send it away and let it go and watch. If it goes up to the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it's not his hand that struck us. It was just bad luck that all of these things happened, and they just happened to happen when his thing was here. So anyway, make a new cart. Don't use one that's been used for anything else. They had a respect for the Ark of the Lord. They had a respect for the Ark of the Lord. The Philistines had a respect for it. Now, this mode of carrying the Ark was forbidden, of course, but the Philistines were not blamed for sending away the Ark of God on a wooden cart. They didn't know, and if they had known, they had no means of observing it because it had to be Levites carrying it on their shoulders, carrying it through the rings and the poles through their shoulders. They didn't have any other way to do it. See, God only judges us on what we know. We're only judged by what we know, but we are judged by what we know. So we have to remember that. They didn't know. By placing the ark on a new cart never before used and drawn by young cows that had never before borne a yoke, the Philistines meant to show that respect. So they take the 2 milk cows, they put the yoke on them. They've never done that before. And we'll see if this is really God. Now, what happened with these cows? Okay, so the cows are going along. It says that the men did so. In verse 10, they took 2 milk cows and they hitched them to the cart and they shut up their calves at home. So calves are at home over here. Road to Beth Shemesh is over here. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and images of their tumors. They just keep repeating that. I don't know why. But anyway, then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh. Straight for the road to Beth Shemesh. Now, it said that that road had a little fork in it. And that road went, this one's home, and this one is to Beth Shemesh. It says right here, and they went along the highway lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth-Shemesh. Now, those five lords are going to show up a little bit later. But here the cows go. They're on the road to Beth-Shemesh. And as they're going, can you hear them? Not a moo. No, this was, oh. Part of that was because of their calves that were in another place. Part of it was that they were in pain because their calves were in another place. Any of you who have had children understand that when you're nursing and it's time for them to nurse, it can sometimes hurt. On they go. And you know, sometimes when we're on the road, on the way that the Lord directs us, we find ourselves in a place where we're not whining. We're not whining. It's just, oh, Lord. Oh. But we're on the right road. We know that we're on the road to the Lord, that the Lord put us on. And yet it's painful. Yet it grieves, not grieves us, but we know we're going the right direction. But it hurts to go that direction. God doesn't say, don't cry. Don't let it hurt you. He just says, I'm going to be with you when you walk in my ways. He will continue to be with you. And so these cows went on that road. They went directly on the road to Beth-Shemesh. They didn't look to the right hand or to the left hand. When God calls you to go in a direction, don't look to the right or to the left. That's so funny because I said don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Okay, for me, that's right and left. This is stage left, stage right. Okay, so anyway, it might have been contrary to the nature of the animals to walk away from the home, but it is not contrary to the nature of things for them to do the will of their Creator. It might have been a natural thing for them, for the animals, might not have been a natural thing of the animals to walk away from home, but it is not contrary to the nature of things for them to do the will of their Creator. It is a reality in every case of animal life that God's will be done. There are some times when there was special control by God when it came to animals. There were some times when there was special control when it came to animals. You remember the story of Balaam's donkey. You remember that he argued with Balaam. That gives me the first question. You are having a conversation with a donkey. Does that not kind of throw you first thing? The first words that came out of the donkey's mouth, were you not shocked that he was talking? You just kind of answered his questions? That's so weird to me. But anyway, he carries on a conversation with him. The lions' mouths were shut from touching Daniel. The animals came into the ark two by two. They just came in. Hey, what do you think? Let's go over there. Do you think they did it without any direction? God directed them there. Directed them right to that place. All creatures are his. And so, now the people of Beth-Shemesh, verse 13, were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And I want you to note, a little side note on this. It probably was in May, because it was the time of the wheat harvest, and in May is when the wheat harvest is. And so they were gathering up the wheat harvest in May. The Ark of the Covenant is coming into the land in May. And then in May 1948, they became a nation. Israel became a nation. So it's just a little side note. It really doesn't mean anything particular. It just is a little side note to pay attention to. And they lifted their eyes. They saw the ark, and they rejoiced to see it. Can you see them? They're in the field. They're working away. Oh, did you? There's the ark. There's the ark. Can you see it happening? And can you see them all getting excited about it? There they are. Oh, the ark is back. Oh, everybody, come on. Come on. The ark is back. And they run over to the ark. And they go over there. They were so excited. The ark of God was in Beth Shemeth, a city of priests. So how come these things happened? They dropped everything. They meant that they were in, they knew this meant, actually, this meant that they had been reinstated with God. God has come back to Israel. And they're excited. They are so excited, but not for long. People were called from their everyday work to worship God. They said, God is in the house. He's here. He's here with us. God, in his mercy, breaks in on the sorrow and the cares of our everyday lives with blessings that exceed our hope and exceed our expectation. God, in his mercy, breaks in on the sorrow and the cares of our everyday lives with blessings that exceed our hopes and our expectations. God has not forgotten about your situation. God has not forgotten about your situation, and he hasn't forgotten about your situation, nor has he forgotten about your situation. And God hasn't forgotten about my situation. He made a way of escape from Egypt. They saw the salvation of God. Christ's appearance after his death in Luke 24, 36 to 41. For a small moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. For a small moment, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where you are, there, where I am, there you may be also. Ladies, Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And it can't be long. It can't be long. I know we've been saying it for years. I know there are those of you who are sitting there and you say, my grandma said that. And her grandma said that. But I'll tell you, look around, ladies. Look around. Knowledge is increasing like that. Just like that. You get a new phone, you take it out of the store, the new one's ready. Your old, it's become an old phone as soon as you walk out the door because new knowledge is available. You can get every kind of knowledge, just a little poke of your finger. You can get it all just like that. We live in a time where people are having a hard time and having a relationship because we are so separated. I'm not against technology. Let me say that. I'm not against technology. But when I walk in a room of high schoolers and I see they're all in there for what? For fellowship. And they're all sitting on their individual phones. We have stopped learning how to have relationships. And so that's my prayer. And so that's all I have to say about that. I don't know how I got started on that. They were excited about being restored for God because Jesus Christ is coming back. That's how I got started on that, and he is. And so they were excited about being restored to the favor of God. Their cry of anguish had been heard. The intercession of Samuel had been heard. Ladies, do you know that there are people making intercession for you every day? There are people that are praying for you specifically. Many of you are being prayed for by name because God has put you on the heart of someone and you are being prayed for. Someone is interceding for you. Someone's praying for you. Oh, I love those kind of prayers. God, in his mercy, breaks in on the cares and the sorrows of our common life with blessings in excess of our hopes. More than we could ever hope for. And so, as they're going along, So they're excited, and they lifted their eyes. And verse 14, then the cart came into the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh and stood there. A large stone was there, so they split the wood of the cart, offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. Again, here's the first problem that the priests did. They offered female cows instead of male. The Levites took the ark of the Lord and the chest that was in it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. Wait a minute, here's another problem. Where is the Ark of Covenant supposed to be? In the Holy of Holies. It's always supposed to be covered. Always covered. It was said that the cart probably was a covered wagon. So it came in a covered wagon. They took it out from under that cover. They, when they walked through the wilderness and they had the Ark of the Covenant with them, it was always covered over. No one saw it except for the priests. This is number two. The priests have taken the ark out of the cart, out of its covering, and they are displaying it on a rock. God said no. Two strikes. Put it on the large stone. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. And I am so glad to read this next one. So when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. They returned as wiser men. I'm so glad that they were there, and I'm so glad they left when they left, that they didn't see what happened afterwards. The Philistines witnessed the restoration of the ark and the joy of the men of Beth Shemesh, and they were wiser men. They carried back the information that the God of Israel was indeed the Dagon slayer. He was indeed the controller of disease. He was indeed the Lord of creation, and he was indeed a friend of Israel. He was theirs. So their defeat was their triumph. They went back wiser men. These experienced priests and diviners went back with something else about the God of Israel. I wonder when they went back if they thought, I wonder about this God of Israel. I think maybe we should follow this God of Israel. I don't know. We don't have any history to back that up. I just wonder on things like that. And so 17 and 18 simply describe the gifts. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned as a trespass offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron, and the golden rats according to the number of the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords. Now, here's another controversy that you might have run across. It said that there were five for each one of the five lords of the Philistines, but this says there were probably more because it was one for each of the cities that belonged to those five people that were both fortified cities and country villages, even as far as the large stone of Abel on which they set the ark of the Lord, which stone remains to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. And so they put it, they gave all of this gold. So it just explains that. And so the joy of restoration was soon clouded by the sorrow of death. In verse 19, then he, that is the Lord, struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Now, this, if you go into the numbers that are here, he struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. Everything that I read, and probably everything that you read, said that there the controversy over the number was given, was bigger than the entire area. So it would have been everybody. He would have completely annihilated all of the Israelites. God always leaves a remnant. So that's why I argue with these numbers. God will always leave a remnant. God always does that. Beth Shemesh being only a village, this should be translated. He killed 50 out of 1,000, being only 1,400 in all who indulged in their curiosity. God, instead of decimating, according to an ancient usage, slew only a 20th part, according to Josephus, 70 out of 1,400. What does that matter? It matters not. It's not important to the story. What is important to the story is what they did, what happened here. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the evidence of God's relationship with his people, had been returned to them. They were so excited that they took the wood from the cart, they made a fire, they sacrificed the cows. It's here that we see the hands of Hophni and Phinehas still reaching out to the area. Remember, when we look at the Philistines, they treated the Ark with such respect. They had more respect for the Ark than the children of Israel did. You remember how we talked about the sacrifices becoming somewhat of a drunken time? Do you remember us talking about that before? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. A few yeses. Yes, we remember. So that's what we have here. Disrespect for the things of God. God had become their bud. They had become too familiar with God. You know what I'm talking about? God is not our bud. He is our God. He is our Father. He is the creator of all things. He is our friend, but he's not our best bud. That's familiarity talking. They had become so familiar with them. And they had taken in substances that take away our inhibitions, cause us to do things that we wouldn't have done otherwise. You want to ask me why I don't drink? I don't drink because I can't, because there's something that says, no, you can't do that. I don't drink because I don't want anything having control of my life but God. And when we take in substances that cause our inhibitions to allow us to do things that we wouldn't do otherwise, we find ourselves in trouble. And that's what happened here. They were in their excitement about having the Ark, and in all their celebration, they had taken in way too much wine, and they began to do things that they knew they shouldn't have done. They pried off the mercy seat to look inside. See, they took mercy out of the law. The law, the letter of the law, kills. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's by his mercy that we are not consumed. They removed the mercy from the things of God. They removed the mercy from the law. And God had to deal with it. The Ark was to be covered, and probably, and we already talked about that, their rebellion and blasphemy are revealed in their disobedience. Because of this, God has to bring judgment on them. He has to bring judgment on them. This is strike three. And he has to bring judgment on them. Why the severe judgment on these men? Why? Because they are leaders. And because they led people to believe that you can easily blaspheme the Lord of the God of Israel and disrespect him, and you can still live. As leaders, we are judged more strongly. God cannot let us lead you into areas that are not where he's directing. He won't let me lead you into a place of disrespect of him. He will deal with me. And he had to deal with these in a way that they understood that you cannot be like that. You cannot act like that. You cannot disrespect me. Remember, the Philistines took such good care of that ark. even though it was destructive to them. They took good care of it. They respected it. They brought it with those gold things out of respect. So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, city of the woods, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the Ark of the Lord. Come down and take it with you." And so here we see in verse 20 that they, who is, and the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God?" These guys are the priests. Who's able to stand before this holy Lord God? Can I say to you, they did not have a relationship with that holy Lord God, or they never would have treated it that way. "And to whom shall it go up from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the Ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you." In other words, in a superstitious way, they wanted to get rid of the Ark. They send messengers to this place telling them to come and get it. They wanted to get rid of the thing that they were just so excited about coming in. Get it out of our sight. It's making life hard. Get it out of our sight. Go take it to another place. Come and get it. They had Levites there. They had priests there. They could have carried it to another place. No, you come and get it. We don't want anything to do with the God of Israel. These are the priests. These are the leaders. Israel is not ready to receive the Ark. God's people are not prepared to return to him. God came back to Israel in their eyes, and they said, "No thanks." When you look at it that way, that's a pretty heavy thought. We are not prepared to return to him. I received something today about a person that I know that has so walked away from the Lord and is so proud of having walked away from the Lord. And it breaks my heart to be proud to not be with God. When it was said, "We're praying for you." Oh, pray for yourself. This was a person who walked with God, who loved the Lord. What happened? Things got in the way, and they're not ready to return to the Lord. Let's not find ourselves in that place. Are we ready to return to the Lord? Are we ready to return to Christ? Are we ready to walk with him? Are we ready to give him our whole selves, everything in us? Everything in us. I give him my life, my whole life, everything, and he will hold me to that. And he will challenge that. You know that God challenges our commitments, right? It's a marriage, ladies. The commitment is challenged. Will we walk with the Lord? Will we give him glory and respect that's due to his name? And give him the glory, give him all the honor, give him all the praise. And so, Lord, help us to walk in your ways, Lord. Help us to encourage one another, Lord, to walk with you, to walk in a way that brings glory to your name. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, that you have spoken tonight. I thank you, Father, that you have, that you reached down to us, Lord. That you reached down your ear to us to hear us when we pray. That as we make intercession, as Samuel did for the Ark of the Covenant to return, Lord, as we make intercession for others, Lord, that you hear us. You hear the outcry of your people to deliver us, Lord. We thank you that you hear us and that you answer, Lord. Father, we pray for our country right now. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would be so in charge, Lord, that you would have your way with our country. Lord, that people would come to a place of submission to you. Lord God, above all things, we ask that those who are in leadership would give their hearts to you, because at the end of the day, no matter what decisions they make, that's the biggest decision they will ever make. And so, Father, we ask for the hearts of the people that are in leadership over us to be wholly and completely turned over to you. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in advance. We know that you hear us. We know that you're responding. You know, we know that you're doing all you can do, Lord, to draw them to yourself. And we're thankful for it, Lord. Please bless the ladies as they go into their small groups, as they minister to one another, as they encourage one another, as they strengthen one another, as they pray for one another. Lord, let your presence be made known amongst them. And we give you all the honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope that you've been encouraged by today's lesson, and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.